I had some fun with this sermon because it's going to anger some people and it's going to make some other people happy. So that's the way it goes. Because when I can say that, then it must be a pretty worthwhile sermon. But anyway, I'm indebted to both two interesting people this within the last, really, several weeks. The Pope, Francis, and a politician in Washington. Politician. I really thought it was neat because the Pope was quoting Jesus Christ when he made a statement that there should not be poverty in the world, that those who have need to know that those who don't have need to have more, and we need to be responsible in sharing. And he quoted Christ. The politician was asked, what did you think of the Pope's statement about poverty and the homeless and da-da-da-da, and went on as only they do. And the politician said, well, he just doesn't understand capitalism. He doesn't understand the American way. And I thought to myself, in a very casual way, he doesn't understand the American way. We say we're a Christian nation. He quoted Jesus Christ. What's missing? And I thought to myself, as I talk to myself and don't lose the argument, something's missing here. Something's really missing. When we talk about having so much, and we talk about being blessed over and over again, why should we be offended about helping those who don't have? And it became a reality. I'm glad Judy's not here. Her heart's as big as this. And she ran into a family by accident when she was at Publix who had nothing. He had a job. He had to have surgery. He got laid off. She had a job. She got laid off. They had two kids, 8 and 10. They had nothing. Zero. And they hadn't qualified for unemployment yet. So Judy, out of the goodness of her heart, gave them, which she could ill afford, $30 to buy some food at Publix. She told me about it. I had some, I gave, and she added some more, and she bought some groceries and took to their home. It so happened there were some other needs, and the Christmas Project came and helped. We did. Some other folks in the church helped. That was a blessing. Did we feel put out? No. Did we feel pinched? Yes. But did we do it willingly? You bet. Love is the key, isn't it? Isn't this the Christian responsibility? I would hope so. Now, measuring it a little further, we have to look at the realities of what's going on in our world today. And in our world today, there's a lot of confusion about helping those who don't have anything. When I see horrible, horrible signs, deport them, kill them, get rid of them, about these little kids coming into this country so that they can live. And I see this. We don't want them. And people yelling. Suffer the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of Texas. Something's wrong. something's wrong. We do this unknowingly. And good people I know give the shadow of indifference when the hurt is right in front of them and the need is there. And people say, well, let somebody else worry about it. I have better things to do. This is where we're looking at in our scripture this morning, because this is a powerful, powerful message that Paul is writing early Christians about. Open your Bibles. We're looking at Romans. We're looking at Romans, the 13th chapter, verses 8 through 14. And going over this morning, I said I don't want to change the sermon any more than I have. But you know what? It changes itself when we read this lesson. Paul writes, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it's written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not overcome evil, but overcome evil with good. Then I want that to be emphasized as we go into our lesson for today. That was last week. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law, the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not covet. And what other commandment there may be are summed up in this one rule. And remember, Paul is quoting Jesus Christ here. Is summed up in this one rule: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this. Understanding the present time, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here, so let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Amen. I thought about this title over and over again. I did. And I think Random Acts of Kindness really fits all of this scripture that I've shared with you, both last week's and today's. It fits it to a T. Because the aim toward love that Paul writes about is summed up in all of this, to do something kind and loving for another person, for another individual that you don't even know, not expecting anything in return, is to fulfill Paul's teaching. And he's talking to a Roman citizenry who are the most selfish in the world because they've got everything that you can imagine in the Roman kingdom. They have everything except an American Express card, but that's all right. The sum of this lesson is to love each other. And we've heard it all of our lives from the pulpit. The first important ingredient to be a Christian is to love each other. And don't make decisions that hurt other people. Don't make comments that make people less than they really are. Don't do evil. This love angle is the total of the Ten Commandments. I hope you've got that. And if we measured all of our laws and regulations against this simple standard, love does no harm to its neighbor, boy, we'd find ourselves in a society that we just couldn't imagine. And a world that's torn in turmoil and hate and ugliness. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Look at all the hate-filled events that have saturated our news during the past 2 weeks. And if you come down to the bottom line, it's just people. People hating people. I cringe when I see a bumper sticker that says, "God said it, I believe it." That settles it. Have you seen them? It's not true. It's not true. I defy anyone to try and prove that they are a biblical literalist in this society today, that they believe absolutely everything that's in the Bible and practice it. I defy anyone. There's enough contradictions in the Bible to satisfy itself. Do you really believe the world is flat? The Bible insinuates the world is flat. It isn't. Oops. And you can't stone your wife. We look down upon it. Barbara told me that. The Bible says to do it. If your neighbor offends, go out and stone him. I have some neighbors that are stoned, but I've never thrown a rock. The Bible indicates a lot of things that we simply can't do and won't do because it just isn't civilized. And we're all forced, every single one of us is forced to choose some pieces of Scripture over others because it satisfies our own, what, at times, our own bigotry, our own prejudice, our own hatred, our own suspicions, our own weak standing of something. And we can use any kind of scripture for absolutely everything and any reason whatsoever. I've talked about that in the past couple of weeks too. Block and cut. You know, things aren't just black and white. We live in a technicolor age, but if you go black and white, the various shades of gray just absolutely insult you. Rather than look for simple and blunt answers to complex issues. I hear enough of that with the news, don't you? Huh? Simple answers for complex issues, and there are no easy answers for anything. There aren't. And when they start quoting Scripture, oh, I hit the... Love one another. Let me put it another way. There's only one absolute, and there's no way that you can force anybody to do it if you're going to be a Christian. There's only one absolute, and Jesus made it very clear. Love one another. Love. And the greatest commandment is love. He said it. What can we do? We can be loving to a fault. How wonderful that would be. And I'm talking to myself when I say this. I can be loving, tolerant, more understanding, more compassionate. Less willing to feel that I'm being put upon. Just to be caring. Because that's what my Lord expects. And you think that's enough. That's everything, my friends. That's everything. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Do what Christ would do. Hard? You know, it's funny, at communion, it's tragic, really. Jesus wanted those disciples to know that this is the most worthwhile thing that God has ever done. And I'm doing it for you. Can you do this for me? They didn't get it. They didn't get it. Do you? Do you? Let love be genuine. Because the night Jesus was betrayed, he reminded them all that when he took the bread and he broke it and said, "This is my body that's broken for you. Take it and eat. Remember me. Share it with others." He took the cup. "This is the new covenant in my blood that's poured out for everyone for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you drink the cup and eat the bread, you show my presence." I think he may have added, "Show it and share it wherever you are." God our Father, we're grateful for your sacrifice in Jesus Christ. We're grateful that you've given us his love. Not only to live, but to share. Bless now, we pray, these common elements of bread and juice, setting it apart from common to sacred, as indeed they become Christ perfect for us. Amen.